Welcome to The Crossings. My name's Wes. I'm the pastor, preacher, teacher here, and I need to stand before you and repent of something today, guys. I've been convicted this past week, just after spending time with mentors and leaders of mine, that I have not been as intimate with Jesus as I need to be. And when I look out over the crowd and think that my intimacy with the Lord affects your lives, you know, as your pastor and teacher and leader, I feel a burden to protect you. And my intimacy as a teacher flows from what I say. And I get up and speak out of my intimacy. And if my intimacy is not what it needs to be with Jesus, the words that come out of my mouth are not his. How many of you guys have heard me say something in this assembly where you've been like, that's not Christ-like? You ever heard that? Okay. Some of you are brave. There have been times where I have gotten up in this pulpit and said things that I think probably dishonored Jesus, and I just need to repent of that. And I just want you guys to know that God is working on me, and I am growing. And if I have ever said anything or done anything that you felt like was out of line or unChristlike, I'm working on it, okay? And I just want to ask your forgiveness for that. And I want you to know, yes, sir. Were you waving to say something, Doug? I'll let you. Okay, amen. Doug back here lives across the way. Doug spends his days reading his Bible and praying. Those of you that don't know Doug, you might want to get to know Doug. He has all this free time, and he just sits around reading his Bible and talking to God. He's a pretty cool guy. Listen, we're going to start doing some things a little different. I feel a burden on my heart to start praying more. And it's okay, you can amen. Like, that fires me up. You guys go right ahead, okay? I like the interaction. I'm going to start praying more. I feel in my heart a desire for intimacy with Jesus Christ that I want to share. I've been mentored in prayer by some of the best leaders in the world. Who in here knows who Francis Chan is? Did you guys know he's my friend? He's kind of a big deal. And when I lived in San Francisco, I used to follow him around like a puppy dog. And we would go down to the Section 8 housing in the city where people kill themselves all the time with drugs and alcohol and the devil's at work. And we would go down there and we would go knock doors in that Section 8 housing. We had teams of people that would do this. They would set up Bible studies. And what me and Francis would do with a couple of other people is we would go in a room and we would pray while all those people were out there studying the Bible. You want to know what God was doing out there? A lot of stuff. And if you know Francis's ministry, if you guys don't know who Francis Chan is, Google him. He's got a pretty large ministry behind him. And what Francis will tell you is he's got a large ministry behind him because of prayer. He spends a lot of his time in prayer. Did you guys know the early church, the Apostle John is the only one that lived to be an old man? All the rest of the apostles in the New Testament were killed for their faith. Do you know what the Apostle John did as an old man? They said he had knees like a camel, like camel leather, because he prayed so much. He spent time on his knees in prayer. And that's so important. So what we're going to start here, and this is just, I'm just going to do this myself. If anybody wants to join me, they're welcome. Right now, the building is being used on Monday nights for Healing as a Choice. But when that class is done, I'm going to start coming down here at 7 o'clock on Mondays, and I'm just going to come down here and pray, and I'll do it by myself. But if any of you guys want to come, and this isn't this week, okay, don't show up down here. We have an anonymous class here. Don't show up this Monday. We'll announce it. But when we start doing this, any of you guys that want to come over here and pray with me, I will teach you how to pray in the Spirit. And I will teach you how to worship in the Spirit. And that's a little bit different than the way we do Sunday morning church. We do Sunday morning church for lost people. This is for people that don't know Jesus to come in here. If we start worshiping the way Jesus followers worship in here, we'd freak the lost people out. And so we save that, right? But that's what I'm talking about. I want to have worship and prayer for people that are serious about worship and prayer. And I had this put on my heart, and then I find out that people are posting on the Collinsville Connection page asking for places to go pray during the week. Did you guys know this? Who knew this? Okay, I didn't know this. So we're probably going to have some friends join us. Does that sound okay? Okay. So if that sounds exciting to you guys, we're going to do that. And that's going to be different than anything you've ever experienced. I'm going to teach you something new, okay? Other than that, we got Scott here from the Solomon Foundation. Scott, you want to come up? Do we have a microphone for Scott? Can we get a microphone for Scott? Scott Jones is with the Solomon Foundation. If you guys are curious how we get finances to build buildings and do the renovation, you guys look around. You like this building we have, this assembly. This is going to get nicer. We're even adding stuff. We're going to add some stuff on the walls over here. We're putting a recording studio and creative space back here, podcast studio. We're going to put a lot of stuff in. One of our guys just got hired by a broadcast company. We're going to help him do some stuff. It's going to be fun. So that's happening. And the reason we can do that stuff is because of our partnership with Solomon. So, Scott, tell us about the Solomon. Or, I'm sorry. Let's start with this. Tell us why you love Jesus. How about that?
Well, I look around the room. That's why I love Jesus. Because especially with what I'm seeing here with so many young people, it really brought me back. It really opened up my memory bank to a guy that was like 19 years old. I'd kind of grown up in the church in North Omaha. North Omaha is the equivalent of East St. Louis. And so I grew up in this church. People loved me. And I was called at a fairly early age to enter into ministry. But I ran from God. I did not want to follow that calling. So I did all kinds of things to get away from God. But the people of that church wouldn't let me go. And they kept pursuing me in the name of Jesus to follow my calling. I have no doubt that there's people in this room today who know what I'm talking about right now. Like God's moving in your life, and you're like, I've been obstinate. I don't want to move on that. But God opened up the door for me. I'll tell you specifically what happened to me in a very short period of time, that I had gotten to the most devastating time of my life. I was miserable. I was in an apartment complex in West Omaha, and a thunderstorm rolled in, and it wasn't audible, but God might as well have shouted it to him. He said, you're going to die. You live this way, you're going to die. And I didn't want to die. And so I did something that I don't really recommend people do, Wes. I open up my Bible in a kind of a random place.
You're talking to a crowd that's heard my testimony. Have you heard my testimony?
I'm not, so.
You might want to go listen to it,
Scott. Maybe this sounds a little bit similar.
This is not prescriptive.
All right, no,
it's descriptive. It's
Wes is really giving me really no help on what I'm doing today. I'm just telling you right now.
I've never heard his story. I'm just assuming what he's about to say, by the way.
I open it up to Matthew chapter 11, 28. Where it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Kept his promise the rest of my life. The rest of my life, he's kept his promise. When I said, I'll come, I'll follow you. So, went into ministry. Been in ministry for 42 years. Most recently, a church of 32 years in Grand Island, Nebraska, and that's where my family lives today. So that's my short story.
So, okay, you got into ministry mm-hmm. when I was two.
You have to...
1982.
I thought we were the same age.
1982, brother.
Whoa.
I was 2 years old when you got into ministry. Now, some of you look at me like I'm old. What does that mean Scott is?
Gosh, yeah.
That's like, brother.
I'm getting my new wings right now. Because I'm with Solomon Foundation.
Amen. Right on. Yeah. So this Solomon role is a new role. Now, what? You're new to Solomon Foundation. Yeah. What does Solomon Foundation do for those that don't know what it is?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say look around, because we do this. We provide funding so that the Crossings and about 600 other churches in America can get the buildings they need to grow the kingdom of God. So you may or may not know this, but most churches, about 95% of churches can't walk into the local bank and get a loan. And even if they could, they'd have to come up with lots of money on the front end. Growing churches like the Crossings churches pretty much have no chance with that. So the Solomon Foundation, if you will, we're like a bank. We're like a nonprofit bank for churches. We fund church facilities so that the Crossings can reach people for Jesus. And so we help churches take the next step. And so we do that. We're a church extension fund. We do that through the investments of the people. So people invest with us just like you would with any kind of investment company, except the difference is every dollar you invest with us ultimately goes to fund church facilities so you can reach people for Jesus. Amen. That's the long and short of it.
So Solomon is putting infrastructure in place to fund revival. Correct. In our country and anywhere else it's needed. If there are people that want to go do what we're doing, Solomon has a $1.2 billion fund that they have made available to support churches. And I think that's amazing. And they're trying to grow that because the more they can get that built up, the more they can give to churches.
Yeah, like right now, Wes, we have 30 churches in the pipeline that are waiting for $300 million in investment. So we're really working hard to tell the story to the people of our churches. Come invest with us. If you're going to invest with Edward Jones, they'll build a nice bar down the street. You might as well build churches with us.
That's true.
Right? You know?
That's true. Amen. Well, Scott, I appreciate you so much. And we have been blessed. We have, guys, $200,000 sitting in the bank right now for our church to build our stuff that we have. We got it from Solomon Foundation. Mm-hmm. They gave it to us. Now, we had to pay it back. But the thing is, we would never have gotten that from a bank. But Solomon, we can go to Solomon. Solomon says, we see you, Crossings Church. We see you're growing and baptizing people. We're going to support that. Mm-hmm. Banks don't do that.
I want to say one more thing because of, you know, how you were so willing to share your spirit about, you're wanting to become intimate with the Lord. Please know this about Solomon Foundation too, Wes. So when we invest with churches, we don't say, oh, we're going to invest in buildings. We invest in leaders and people. Mm-hmm. And so one of the most important questions we ask about a church is, who are the leaders? Because, as you well know, leaders can take churches down too, right? So I'm going to be out in the lobby afterwards. If you want to talk to me about the investment side of what we do, I'm there for that. But that's the side point right now. I just want to say, pray for this man. Like, one of the things I learned in ministry, I'm still learning it, is pray for the strong because they're weak. Pray for this man, pray for your staff, pray for your leaders, whoever they are, whether they're on staff or not. Pray for the strong because they're weak. And I think that's the best thing you can do to grow this church, to make it all that God wants it to be. So, all right? Yeah.
Thank you, Scott, so much for coming.
God bless.
Let me pray for you and for your ministry. Right. God, I want to lift up Solomon Foundation to you. I want to lift Scott up to you. I want to pray a blessing on all that they're doing. Father, I pray that they can raise what they need to raise and empower who they need to empower so that they can empower and make a way for revival in our country and all over the world. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man.
Love you, buddy. Thank you. Open up your Bible to Matthew 25. We don't have notes today because we had a little different. So get your Bible out, and let's look at Matthew 25. And I'm going to talk through this, and we may get done a little bit early. So verse 14 says, again, and this is Jesus talking. Let me give you a little context before we jump into this, okay? Jesus is walking around with his disciples, and this is before he's been crucified, and they're passing the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus makes a comment that someday this temple is going to get knocked down, and not one of these stones is going to be left on top of another. This big, huge structure you see is not going to stay. It's a prophecy that Jesus says. The disciples come back to him later, and they say, what's up with that? Like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And he gets into some teaching, and this is part of this discourse where he's talking about what's going to happen at the end of the world. Now, this is one of those cosmic kind of parables. What the Bible teaches is that God created the earth, Jesus created the earth, and he's going to come back and judge the earth someday, and your life is a test. That's what Jesus teaches, and this parable is going to illustrate that, okay? So let's jump into it. He says again, the kingdom of God coming, the kingdom of God coming will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag of gold went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. But his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Since you just think I'm a greedy man, it's kind of the implication, right? So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has, here's a principle from the Lord. He repeats this many times. Whoever has will be what? If you're faithful with what God gives you, he's going to give you more. If that's responsibility, if that's power, if that's money, this is how Jesus works. When you're faithful, he gives you more. When you're unfaithful, he takes away what you have and gives it to somebody else. This is about your life. And your decisions, right? Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I said that to my teacher service this morning. I said, that's what I'm leaving with them in the assembly this morning. We're going to send them out with joy. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? We don't want to end with that. That's how Jesus tells it. This is sweet little Jesus telling the story, ending with the weeping and gnashing of teeth for those that are unfaithful. What do you guys think? What are you going to do with that? The bags of gold, you know, are like your talents. They're like your gifts. They're like your whatever you have that you have control over, that's like what you have to steward. So this is the stuff you have in your life that's good. You have that to steward. God gave it to you. Did you notice the bags of gold? Who gave the bags of gold? The master. You know who the master is. And this is Jesus. That's right. That's usually the right answer in Bible classes. Jesus, right? Jesus. Jesus gives the talents. Now, can I pick on you, Conrad? Okay. Conrad's my son. Conrad has a genius level IQ. I have told Conrad his whole life, guess why you're smart? What have I told you? Because you were born. Did you do anything to be smart? Should you ever look down your nose at somebody else because you're so smart? No. But that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil will want you to look down on people because you have something they don't have. What Jesus wants you to do is he wants you to steward what you have. That's what Jesus wants you to do. And so you're given a gift and you're expected to steward it, notice, according to his ability. Not all of us have the same level of gifts. One person may be extremely gifted. Somebody else may be just barely able to function mentally. But they're both just as important to Jesus. They're both just as important to Jesus, but the expectations are the same for both. They're both supposed to steward what they have. Now, the outcome and what they have to steward is different. You notice that? But the expectation is the same for all of them. You're expected to steward what you have. Now, what that does is it removes excuse from all of us. We're just called to steward what we have. We're not called to make more. We're not called to make it about the gold. It's just we're called to steward what we have. Church, are you stewarding what you have? Right now, are you stewarding what you have? I have not been stewarding what I have. That's what I repented of today. I'm going to do better. I've not been intimate like I need to be with Jesus. I am repenting publicly before you today, and you're going to see difference in me. I promise you, you're going to see difference in me. And you're going to see difference in this church because of it. You're going to see a difference, and it's going to be good. And I want you to join with me in that, and I want you to look at the words of Jesus, because I'm not the only one. If I'm your leader and I've been doing this, I'm not the only one. You got to get serious about this. Guys, the world is lost, man. Do you know what it feels like to be lost? And what it feels like to be found? Where is that family that was asking for baptisms the other day? I want them back here again. Like, we need to reach out. There are so many people in this community that are begging for Jesus in their lives. I want to throw the door open for them, church. Amen? Can you get excited with me about that? Can we stop messing around? And let's get serious about this. We came here to plant this church to make a difference in the lives of people. Let's get serious about it, man. And let's lean into what we've been missing. And guys, if we have not been intimate in prayer as a church, man, that's a basic thing to miss. Let's repent of that and get back. This is a spiritual battle. There are demons and angels. Your prayers matter. Amen? Will you come with me? We'll see. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. You've got a piece of paper in your bulletin that's a communication card. I want to invite everybody to pull that out. Some of you in here are not Christians, okay? You know who you are. God, I want to pray right now for those in this room that are not Christians that they will ask to study the Bible today. I pray that you will make them feel so stinking guilty that they cry if they don't. Amen. You know who you are. God, I want to pray for those in the room who haven't been baptized, that know they need to get baptized, that have made excuses about it, to stop making excuses and get baptized. Move in their heart, Jesus. Help them to know people love them and you love them, and they need to be a better example than they've been being. Amen. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Right? I'll take it. Go on. Say that again. Hey, go. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Let's close like this. Deontay, come up here. I want you guys to pull that communication card out and fill it out. We're going to sing a song here in a second, and you'll have time to fill it out completely. Deontay is feeling like the Lord is calling him to ministry. And there may be others that feel like they're being called to ministry. And if there are, I'll work with you. Me and Deontay are going to be getting together up here. He's going to be taking some Bible classes, and we're going to be doing some things. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And if any of you other young men will learn to be warriors for Jesus, I will teach you to be warriors for Jesus. Just to be clear, I plan to work in this country until I complete what God has called me to do in this country, and then I'm going to go die on the mission field. That's what you guys can expect from my life, okay? I love you. Let's get to work, okay? God, I want to pray for Deontay. I want to pray for your anointing on him. I pray you give him clarity of what you say in your word about how to love people and how to love you. And it starts with loving you first. I pray that this church will become an example of intimacy with Jesus Christ, because it's our intimacy with Jesus Christ on a deep level that allows us to have the wisdom and knowledge to share. Help us to see that there is no good outside of you. There is no good outside of you. There is only good within you and a relationship with you. You are ushering in eternity and a paradise, and it's going to be so fun, Lord. The future is so bright. Help us to lean into your future that you have in Jesus Christ. Help us to foster revival in our country and around the world. Help us to lean into what you're doing through your Spirit. And God, help us to be Jesus to the people around us. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.